CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have author Leslie Morgensteiner, author of the New York Times bestseller, Crazy Love. Make sure to get more shows like this one at fireitupwithcj.com. I'm Cassandra from CBS Sky Radio. And we're going to go right back to CJ and Leslie.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and we are talking to Leslie Morgensteiner, who is a Harvard-educated gal who is also a powerful businesswoman, and she married long ago another Ivy League hotshot from Wall Street, and kind of sounds like pretty much the perfect scenario, right?
Yes, well, it was perfect for a little while.
All right, well, there are no Disney moments here because Leslie was in an abusive relationship where her husband poured coffee grounds on her head, pushed her down a set of stairs. And it really wasn't until she was almost brutally beaten to death that she finally decided it was time to end the relationship. And Leslie, you say in one of your videos that most people want to know, why did you stay? So welcome, Leslie. Why did you stay?
Well, there were a couple of reasons why I stayed, and I think that I have that in common with all battered women. First of all, I had incredibly strong denial, and I didn't realize that I was a battered woman. I know it sounds incredible to believe that, but I didn't think I was an abused wife. I thought I was a really strong, smart woman in love with a troubled man, and that it was my destiny to help him. And I also think that because of my denial, I didn't realize how serious it was and how much danger I was in. And then last but not least, from my perspective at the time, I really loved him, and I knew that if I reported him to the police tried to shine a light on the violence, that the relationship would end. And I wanted the violence to end, but I didn't want my marriage to end.
So it was basically love that seemed to me to be the biggest. I mean, when I'm listening to it, it's like love and then just not even knowing that what your scenario was not normal.
Yes, and I wouldn't now, from my perspective now, I would not call it love, and I think it's dangerous to call it love, because it was a crazy form of love, and it really was a psychological trap disguised as love that I fell into, and that in some ways he fell into as well. I think that he was a victim in many ways, too. He had been abused as a young child, and like a lot of abuse victims, he grew up to repeat the pattern, because for him, abuse and love were linked so closely together.
But for you, you seem to have like a very happy, family life beforehand.
I did. And I think that that's part of the misconception about domestic violence. We tend to think that it's only really poor victims or victims who have extremely troubled childhoods who are vulnerable to abuse. But really, everybody is vulnerable. Anybody who has an open heart and is willing to, to fall in love, which is basically all of us, is vulnerable. And my family, we're all very well educated. Many, many of my relatives, including both of my parents, went to Harvard. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and my mom was a teacher and my dad was a lawyer. And I think looking at it from the outside, you would have said this is the last person on earth who's going to be a victim of relationship abuse. But I was a really typical victim. Because, there's no real stereotype that successfully applies to victims anymore.
Right, what made you susceptible was an open heart. made you susceptible?
I think that is what made me susceptible. And I also think that, I think that everybody has a chink in their self-esteem. And that my ex-husband found it. He was very good at sensing people's weaknesses. And he found mine and he exploited it. And the other victims who I've met, and I've met hundreds and hundreds since publishing Crazy Love, they're the same in so many ways, that they're optimistic. And that the type of person that is really nice and who's willing to believe the best in anybody and really wants to help other people. It's not that we're saints or angels. It's just you find very few really cynical people who become victims of abuse. They might become cynical because of the abuse, but we don't start out that way.
Right, right. It's the open heart of, like, wanting to think the best of others and giving them a chance and thinking, well, it must be my issue as much as it's other person's issue. So in some ways, that thing that makes you so – that's a wonderful trait, right? But it also seems like that is the your Achilles heel in this particular
case. In my case, it really was. And I also – felt really sorry for him because he'd had such a terrible childhood. And – I think that there are some people who confuse pity with love, and that was a real mistake that I made that fortunately I don't think I will ever make again.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about, you said earlier you were in a psychological trap disguised as love. What was the psychological trap? Was that the, hey, he saw what your weakness was and he went for it? Is that, or what was the trap?
Well, I would say it was kind of what you led off with, that things seemed so perfect at the beginning. You know, we had this Romeo and Juliet fairy tale start to our relationship, and most domestic violence victims will describe their relationship beginning in this way. He just seemed so perfect for me. He worshipped me, and he made me feel really understood and honored and respected as a woman and a writer. And even as a future mom, you know, he really got into the core of my heart. And it felt really magical. I've never felt so close to anybody in my life as I felt to him in the early days. And that was our foundation. So when things started to go wrong and the red flag started to creep up, I didn't want to see them or believe them because I couldn't bear to give up that early fantasy of this perfect love that I had found with him.
Okay, so I want to go loop back to the misconceptions, you think. So people think, you know, well, people who are part of this situation, they're poor, they've had hard family lives. What else do we misunderstand about victims of abuse?
People a lot of times say, well, it's a self-esteem issue, that only a woman with really low self-esteem or a person with low self-esteem would allow themselves to be beaten. And I think in some ways everybody has a little bit of a self-esteem issue. You know, they don't hand out self-esteem the day that you're born.
Right.
And I think that self-esteem has incredibly little to do with it, especially, you know, when you start looking at who is actually abused. And 15 million children are abused every year. And they're not abused because they have self-esteem issues. And they don't hide the abuse because of self-esteem. They hide it because they love their parents and they don't want to get their parents in trouble. And so I think that that's a really huge misconception, is that it's just this simple self-esteem problem. And I also think it's a way of blaming the victim, that, you know, we sort of deserve it because we have no self-esteem and we can't leave. And I think that if there's any blame to be handed out here, we've got to shine that on the abuser and make sure that in our country abusers are forced to take responsibility for what they're doing, which is a crime. That's another thing I didn't know. I had no idea that what my husband was doing to me was criminal and that he could go to jail for it.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that's so interesting, earlier in the month we had another gal who were here who was a mother of a child who had been abused for her entire life, and she really didn't know any different because she had no other role model. She came from a broken home, so she kind of didn't know. So it wasn't one power dynamics that you mentioned before. You're in a situation where you assume that the adult is the person who is in control and knows better and is there to love you. And same thing with your previous husband, right? You're assuming that all these things are true and that, well, this must be how it is because you just don't. No. I mean, and
it's part of trusting and loving somebody.
Yeah.
Is that you kind of, you suspend your critical thinking and your, you know, it's almost the suspension of disbelief that when he started being abusive, everything in me cried out to say, no, it can't be true. He can't be doing this to me. He loves me. I know he loves me. He doesn't want to hurt me. And he would never, you know, fire a gun at me, even though he was holding a loaded gun at my head, you know, something he did many, many times. I just never believed that he would really pull the trigger, and that was a part of the crazy love, that I was victim to, is that, you know, there was a slow building of the abuse. Abusers don't hit you on the first date. It happens very gradually. Mm-hmm. And it usually, by the time that they actually start to hit you, you're trapped in some way. And in my case, I had left my job at 17 Magazine. I had left New York City. We'd moved to a small town in New England. And I was dependent on him physically and financially, in addition to being emotionally dependent. And I really was not in a good position to leave. Mm-hmm. And so he was sort of safer, if you will, to abuse me.
Mm. All right. We have to go on break, but I want, when we come back, to talk to other folks about your transformative story, because in the end, the end is happy. It's your,
right.
You got the fairy book marriage.
It does. I have a happy ending, fortunately.
Yes, happy ending. So we're going to be talking about your transformative story, and then I want to also talk about some advice that you give women who are either afraid to stand up or also thinking about leaving and had the same fears that you had about starting your life all over again.
Yeah, that's very important. Great.
Okay, folks. So folks online, make sure to go to www.firedupwithcj.com and subscribe to get a schedule of upcoming shows, articles, and coaching tips. We'll be right back.